All right, let's do a review of last week. Yeah, I think I said that. Did I say that we won't have class next Sunday? Thank you. Can't remind ourselves enough. So last Sunday, and Liz, we ended up with the last question in 2 Samuel chapter 16, and it was the fulfillment of Nathan's prophecy, and we, Liz reread that just as a good to put it into our minds what God had prophesied for that judgment against David for the sin that he committed. And then she also went into then Ahithophel's counsel, which he was considered his counsel as inquired at the oracle of God. So I'm going to go through my notes that I have on that class, which was a wonderful class. So we see, and it was very obvious, that Ahithophel wanted to divide David and Absalom. So there would be no going back for Absalom to have a relationship with his father by doing this horrendous action in front of all of Israel at the advice of Ahithophel. And then Liz brought out the Old Testament law that states that that's a sin. What he advised him to do was a sin. So it was totally against the word of God. The concubines were David's property. It's hard for us to imagine that or think about that today in the world we live in. And I had studied into this planning on coming last Sunday. And when I was looking at these concubines, I brought up the history of women. From that point in time into the 2017, I do want to hand out this paper, this sheet I'd already had it printed out. So if Trevor, Maxwell want to hand these out, all this is just, it's not even all the history of the progress a woman has made through the years. But from a concubine, think about it, to today, a concubine was the property of the man that owned her. It was definitely a better position to be in than a prostitute. Because if you didn't have a husband and a family to take care of you, those are your options back then. Concubine, prostitute. So being a concubine sometimes, you know, protected the woman. You know, gave her a place to live, provided for her everyday life. But it just, looking through history and seeing how things have changed over the years for women, it's originally how God wanted it. When he created woman and he said, I make that help meet for Adam, that partner. She was never under Adam. She was side by side, side by side. Came out of his rib, Adam's rib, and side by side, that help meet, that person, that partner, that they're with you, one-on-one. And when I studied into it further, you saw why, why did God allow that? Why did God allow all God's people back then, a lot of them the kings, to have all these wives, have all these concubines? Well, when you study into it, you'll see that God says it was because the hardness of your heart, the hardness of their heart. But it was never God's intention for a woman to be as such. Then going on, it showed that Absalom did this to show he had the power, that he was taking over the kingdom. And that was part of the advice. And then she highlighted again, once again, that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. So he had cause to harbor resentment. And we see later on actual hate, because he wanted to kill David. He wanted to be the one to go and kill David. So he carried out a lot of bitterness in his heart, and we see how bitterness does destroy the soul. I mean, you can see it all through the Word of God. You can see it in people's lives today. So you have to make the choice. You have to make a choice to carry that bitterness or to give it to God. Let go, let God be in control. And you never see in Scripture that Absalom went to God in prayer. And we always see God, and when they write about God's people, they always specify they went to God. David prayed. But you never see this with Absalom. And he never sought the advice of Nathan or any of the prophets of that time. So we see that Ahithophel was David's counselor. He was like his right-hand man. Might not have been his really good friend, but he was right there by his side. So his advice to Absalom was definitely against God, because God will never tell anyone to go and sin. Amen? I thought that was a great point Liz brought out. So we see that Ahithophel may have been wise here, but he wasn't godly. He lost that. And I like the part where she said, have you ever been around someone who says all the right things, but it just doesn't feel right? I have. And you all know what that feels like. It just doesn't line up to that Spirit of God within you, and you have to line up what people say against the Word of God. And then you'll never go wrong. So those were some of the notes I had from last week's class. So anything you'd like to add for that, something you had? Okay, we'll go on to a new chapter. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 17, and we're on the first question. And the question is, was this good advice from Ahithophel? And find scriptures on good advice versus bad advice. And turning to the scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 17, reading verses 1 through 4. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Was this good advice that Ahithophel gave to Absalom? What do you think? Was that good advice? Think about the position. What's going on in this kingdom? David's on the run. Would this have been good advice? Dennis?
David and his people were on the run and were really vulnerable right at this time, so it would have been good advice.
Absolutely. It was good advice for Absalom. It was the best advice that he could have given to Absalom. Go after David, catch him while he's weak and weary, hasn't rostered all the forces yet, doesn't have all the people with him, the army that he needs to fight against Absalom. So let's look at that in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 15 and 16. It tells you why David needed this time. 2 Samuel 17, 15 and 16. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and unto Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. So we see, we'll get into the later, these two different advices. But right now we're studying into Ahithophel's advice. But we see why David needed Hushai in that place to counteract the advice of Ahithophel. But not just that, Absalom didn't need to take that advice from Hushai. We know God had a hand in this because God has his plan and his control in all of his people's life. So we know that that was good advice for Absalom in the place that he was at. So what about scriptures on good advice or bad advice? What did you find? Because there's a lot of scriptures about advice in the Word of God. And we all give advice, don't we? Have you ever given advice to somebody? Advice is just your opinion, or it's counseling somebody, recommending something. That's advice. It can cover a really broad area. So anything you came up with for giving good advice or giving bad advice, either one. Marty Slade.
I believe it's Galatians, the sixth chapter, and it says, if a brethren be overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual, you know, talk to him, considering thyself, lest you be tempted. So, you know, the advice has to be from God, and you got to be really careful and that you're not even if it might be the right advice, you're not saying it at the wrong time, and you know, you definitely, a lot of prayer goes into it. And I was thinking about this Ahithophel. You know, he, that wisdom he had was from God. He gave the right advice, and there's a scripture in Romans 10:29 says the gift and callings of God are without repentance. So I think it's possible for somebody to have that gift of God, and maybe they're not full of the Holy Ghost to use it like it should, but still, you still have that wisdom to be able to decipher and see stuff that it may not be the right. It's not the right advice if it's not from God.
Exactly. Just like Balaam, prophet of God, hired to prophesy against God's people, but he couldn't because everything that came out of his mouth was for God's people. But he still was able to put out how to compromise so that you'd make God's people fall. Anyone else? And either side, good advice, bad advice, counsel, recommendations. Terry?
Well, I kind of thought of it chronologically. You started with Cain and Abel, and you just start following it right down through there where even with Cain and Abel, God gave him advice and told him, well, you know, sin's at the door if, you know, heed the advice, but he didn't. And then you go right on down to Abraham, Noah. I got notes, but anyway. And then you've got bad advice also, like where Sarah took Hagar into Abraham and got ahead of himself or herself. So, like I said, and then it just keeps going right on down.
Amen. Do you ever see where bad advice turns out good? In studying the scriptures. Amy?
A small scripture in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, and it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. And I was just thinking about human nature when you know, want some advice or seeking some advice. And human nature, most of the time, you kind of want to talk to somebody who you think is going to go, you know, have the same opinion as you, or, you know, to give you the advice that you want to hear. Or so, it, you know, usually if you're seeking advice, you tend to seek advice that's going to be the advice that you want to hear, not necessarily what you need to hear, but what you want to hear is our human nature. So to be able to actually hearken and listen to the wise advice and take it in is hard to do with human nature.
Amen. Good scripture, Amy. Hap?
Thinking when Samuel was the prophet and Saul, the Israelite people wanted a king, Samuel was trying to inquire to God, and God told him, tell the people this is what's going to happen if you put a king in there, an earthly king. And he told him about all the taxes and taking all your land and your, not all your land, but taking your land, your servants and everything else. And it was just a He warned them about it, mm-hmm. but the people still pushed against it, and they got what they wanted. And what really surprises me, too, is even after Saul was in place, and you think the people would have cried out, Lord, we made a big mistake, let's go back the other way. But it never turned around, and I thought that was a collateral damage which we suffered. But you had your good kings, and you had your bad kings, too. And in the natural, I was thinking your business and corporations, and you have board of directors, you have committees and stuff like that. Instead of taking a counsel of just one person, you get a consensus, and you kind of have like a think tank, and you kind of go through things and sift out what is good advice and what's bad advice.
But, Amen.
In this case here, it wasn't good. It was good advice for Ahithophel, as far as the plan going through, but God was able to work it out anyway, so praise God for that.
Because remember when we learn how God sets in the kings and God sets them out, same today, when we studied into that. Terry?
On a lighter note, I remember at the time there was a female prophetess in Israel, I think it was Hilda, and they were having problems. I forget now what, but anyway, she said, well, I forget who was leading the army at the time, but I remember his answer. He said, she said, well, go on down there and God will be with us. And he said, I ain't going there unless you go with me.
We see many times when people put that before God. Look at how Moses tested God. God, I can't speak to this people. Made God angry, but he still sent him Aaron to do the talking. Although Moses was pretty good at talking. All right, anyone else on advice, either good or bad? So, oh, Paul.
Yeah, I was just looking in 1 Kings 12. It's kind of long, but there's good and bad advice in that chapter there. And he decided to take the bad advice, so it turned out pretty rough. But
what chapter, Paul?
What's that?
What chapter?
1 Kings chapter 12, verses like 1 through 14 or 15. But it's pretty interesting that he told him to, The old guy told I can't think of their names right now, but just to treat the people right, you know. And then there's a friend of his that he knew from his youth, told him, no, you need to really be harsh with these people, and you know, your dad chastised with his little finger. When I chastised you, it'd be like my thigh. And he made it so hard on the people they couldn't live under that.
Amen. So everything you've all said is all part of advice and how to give advice. And like Marty brought out, that you give advice, but go to God first. You have to have the mind of God before you're going to give spiritual advice, especially. And we all just off the top of our head give advice all the time. I mean, when you're sick, you got people giving you advice on everything. So, or when you're pregnant. How much advice did you get when you were pregnant? So, and it could, some of it was good and you would take it, and some of it you just leave it where it's at. All right, so I did also, like Terry said, I like chronological order too. So I looked and went through some scriptures, and we'll go into bad advice first, and then I like to end on the positive with good advice. So the first time I see bad advice in the Word of God in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 5, a very familiar story. Now the serpent was more subtle, or cunning, you know, that serpent is cunning, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's posing a question to her. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, here comes that great advice, you shall not surely die, for God does not know, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The very first time you see the worst advice ever given. And the woman listened to it, and she shared it with her husband. And then we know the rest of the story, because here we are. So bad advice, as we see in sin, has collateral damage, the same as sin. Collateral damage, it compounds. And it influences others. This bad advice came from that serpent, Satan, using that serpent to give that advice to that woman, and she listened. But sometimes it's easier to listen than to not, because that's our nature. That's human nature. And turn to Exodus chapter 32, and this is just a few of bad advices in the Old Testament. There is a lot of them. But Exodus chapter 32, and reading verse 1, or starting at verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, some worst advice ever said, up, make us gods. Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. Oh, I mean, you see why God would get angry at these people with the hardness of their heart, how he brought them out of Egypt, slavery. They were in slavery. I mean, it was not nice and it wasn't easy. And God brought them out, and now here they're complaining. Moses is where? Moses isn't off visiting another country. He's on the mountain with God. And how easily that natural can forget and want to take over. And here's my advice. Make us gods. Make us gods, little g. So verse 2, Aaron said unto them, Aaron goes along with that bad advice, just like Eve went along with that bad advice. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I mean, what a sad picture. What a sad and shameful picture. So we know the rest of the story and how Aaron built this calf, and the people worshiped it. And then, of course, God wants to destroy these people, all of them. I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, all that he's done for them and all that he's shown them, all them plagues that they lived through, and God protected them. He parted the Red Sea. I mean, after walking across dry ground, Red Sea, you would think they would never forget who their God is. But there again, we see human nature. So, turn. No, I just want to end with that there. The bad advice given to Aaron and the people compounded it. And turn to Numbers chapter 13. And these are all familiar stories. If you read the whole story for yourself, you know, you've known these. We've taught on them before. You've heard them in Sunday teachings. But Numbers chapter 13, and starting at verse 31. Now, this is when they came to the promised land, and they sent out spies, including Joshua and Caleb, to bring back a report of what they found. So Numbers 13, starting at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Okay, they brought up bad counsel, bad advice of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which you have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, what a bad report. No faith in God. We don't see any power in God and their words. After all, God has brought them through. They've all been through the same journey. They've all experienced the same power of God. But turn to 14, Numbers chapter 14. And verse 4, and we see once again how bad advice compounds, or we have this collateral damage. Numbers 14, 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. I mean, my mind has a hard time comprehending that. They want to go back to be slaves. Why? Why? Because somebody brought a bad, negative report. And they all believe that rather than trust in God. Have faith in God. Know that God has brought you this far. He's not going to let you go now. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. We can all say that today. How many years have some of us been here? We know God is never going to leave us or forsake us, no matter what we have to go through in this life. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And we know there's lots of bad advice in Samuel, the books of Samuel and the Kings. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and starting at verse 2. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Now, we all know that's not a good house to walk in. For his mother, now here we go with the family connections. For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. His mother advised him to do evil. He didn't have to listen. He had a choice. Verse 4, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Now this was a king. He had lots of power. But he listened to his mother, who was telling him against God to do evil. He listened to his mother's advice. So it doesn't matter if that advice is coming from a family member. If it's not good, you don't listen to it. Choose not to listen to it. Choose not to do it. And turn to Esther, chapter 5. Esther, right before the book of Job. Esther chapter 5 and reading verses 9 through 14. Because this is a wonderful story. I mean, to see how God takes control of situations that you have no control of. And he works it out to your good. Esther chapter 5, starting at verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Wow, this man is very proud. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him. And now he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. So what has he got to complain about? Sounds like he's got everything he wanted. Position, power, authority. But verse 12, Haman said moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Jealousy. Jealousy consumes your soul. This man had everything, but yet he was jealous of another person. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. Bad advice here. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. His wife gave him some pretty bad advice, because this bad advice ended up in his death. Drop down into Numbers chapter 14, Esther chapter 7. And reading verses 9 and 10. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So this bad advice rebounded back to him and ended in his death because he followed the bad advice. He wanted to get rid of this man that he was jealous of for no reason. He had everything in his life. But yet he looked at one other man, did not want him to have that position, that recognition. So he listened to bad advice and ended up dead for it. Once again, God protects his people. Doesn't matter the situation. If you read this whole story about Esther, she didn't start out as the queen. But God put her into that position. Let's turn to Job chapter 42. Here's how God feels about bad advice. Job 42, reading verses 7 and 8. "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job had.'" So if you understand the story of Job, you know he had these three friends, and they came to him over and over to tell him what was wrong with him. They were giving him advice, but their advice was not from God. And they sound like great, you know, holy, righteous men, but something was missing in what they were saying. And God tells them he was angry with them because they did not speak the right thing to Job. And then he goes on and he tells them to offer a sacrifice, and he does forgive them. Because always intentions are good, right? Our intentions are good when we give advice, most of the time. So those were just a few of the bad advice that I had looked at throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and there's a lot more. But I want to look at some good advice, good advice. And turning back to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, reading verses 28 through 36. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, this is Joseph. We all know Joseph was never in a great situation. His brothers threw him into the pit. He sold into slavery. But now he's telling the king what his dream means. And this is what he's telling him. "Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgiven in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." This is the advice Joseph is giving him. "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." Now, this is some pretty amazing advice that Joseph gave to Pharaoh. It was the best advice for Egypt, but not just Egypt, God's people. That's why this advice was given. Because go down into the next chapter, or in the same chapter, Genesis 41, and drop down to verses 37 through 44. Because here's where good advice gets the right response. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Once again, God taking care of his people. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Now, do you think Joseph ever thought in a million years he would be in that position? Pharaoh's right-hand man? He just came out of prison not too long ago. He was a slave. But now we see how God worked that in his life to become powerful for God. Because God had a purpose for this. Drop down to verse 56 and verse 57. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries, including Israel, came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. God gave Joseph the advice to give to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wisely took it. And because of that, Pharaoh's land, Egypt, was saved from the famine, but so were the countries and cities round about. And then we see the rest of the story when Israel comes, Joseph's brothers. And we all know that story, but we're not going to go into that too much now. So Joseph, a man who came out of prison, is now advising the Pharaoh, because that's what God wanted. And turn to Exodus chapter 18. Some more good advice. Exodus chapter 18, starting at verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. That's a long day judging people. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Well, he sounds like a pastor. Sounds just like a pastor. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Now, can you imagine going to Moses and saying that? So obviously his father-in-law was given inspiration from God. So this thing that thou doest is not good, because thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel. Here comes some good advice. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. And that's the same today. God teaches his people his ways, his laws to walk in. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And I love God's organization. I love how God has everything set in place. And it all flows together perfectly when God's people are doing their part. So verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. That makes sense. But every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. It's a way a body of believers works. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Very wise advice that his father-in-law gave Moses. Very wise. And that's actually in place today. You don't have one person taking over a whole large thousands upon people to take care of all their problems. Even our government, it's broke down into departments to provide for our huge nation. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 4. And if you have anything you want to add, just raise your hand. You have any examples of good advice? Daniel chapter 4 and reading verse 27. Daniel 4:27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Here's another one of God's people giving advice to a king. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. Here's what he's telling the king. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So Daniel, going to the king, and he's advising him, counseling him, to stop sinning. To stop sinning. And if you ever studied about Nebuchadnezzar, you see what happened to him after this, and how he goes to the ground to become humble. God puts him there, and then he's lifted back up. But it's a wonderful story of Daniel, if you ever have time to read that. How could Daniel be in the place to give the king advice? God put him there. He was a slave. But God gave him the power and the authority to do what needed to be done. I want to look at one more scripture. Acts 21. In Acts chapter 21 and reading verses 10 through 15. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. They don't want Paul to go to Jerusalem because this prophet just told him, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be put in jail, possibly killed. Verse 13, then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? Think about this. For I am ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now, this advice was good advice they were giving Paul. Nobody wants to see somebody they love go be hurt. They believed what this prophet said. Paul was, the Jews in authority at that time were after Paul. He'd already been through many other issues with them, beaten, put in jail. Paul knew that, just like Jesus knew that. When Peter said to him, "No, Lord, you're not going to go to this cross. You're not going to suffer." And what did Jesus answer to Peter? He's pretty harsh with his words. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't know the will of God. You don't know what my God wants." Because Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost. And you can see he didn't go pray about it either. He just came out of his mouth. And Jesus had the answer for him. The same as this answer here, the will of the Lord be done. And that's how it is in everything we do. If you get advice from someone, line it up to the Word of God. Line it up to the Word of God. Let the Word of God be that mirror. And you want to give advice, if you feel to give advice to someone, seek God's advice first. Seek it from His Word, and then seek His direction by prayer. And you can't go wrong if you do it that way, because God's advice is never wrong. Never wrong in our lives. So I'm going to close with that because we're running a little bit over. But seek God's advice before you give someone else advice, especially if you're talking spiritual advice. Amen? All right, we'll see you all downstairs.